Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ickle-firsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone, Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 66 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Harris.
This episode is sponsored by Vanessa Kingston.
Kingston.
Okay. Vanessa.
The T.
Thank you. We welcome you and thank you.
I'm sorry I added a T to your name.
Vanessa.
This week, is our final episode on Prisoner of Azkaban, or
Owlscaban.
Owlscaban.
Right. We'll be doing...
In honor of this being our final episode.
We're going to start like that.
I'm sorry.
Tiffany's actually drinking whiskey out of her glass.
In honor of this being our final episode on Owlscaban, we will be posting our Owlscaban merchandise on our website. Go check it out.
We have a website?
What's that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, swishflickcast.com. Go. Now, look.
What's a dot com? Homestarrunner.net. It's dot com. Know what that is?
Yeah. Is that a commercial?
For homestarrunner.com, which I don't even think that's a thing anymore.
Okay. Did you have something else?
I was going to say that I'm not going to interrupt you the rest of the episode.
Okay.
All right. We will be doing our book to movie comparison for all of you before we dive into the hot cup of
the hot cup of fire.
Yeah, or goblet of fire for all you people who don't know what a hot cup of fire is.
But be careful because it burns.
Mm.
In and out. Going in.
No.
Oh. Sometimes it happens.
Okay, Florence. Thank you for showing up, though, for the final episode of Prisoner.
Well, it's around.
All right.
Just like a circle.
Let's... This is... This is too much. Anytime we record on a Friday... It's nuts.
It is.
And we haven't been together in a month.
True.
A month.
Like, together in the same room recording.
A month.
Actually, I think it's been more than a month, if I'm being honest with you.
We're rounding. We're rounding like a circle.
No.
A circle of a month. All right. So let's get into some weekly profit.
I gave you this one.
You did.
I'm excited about it.
Actually, I can't. Shout out to Elizabeth Licklack for sending this to me.
So, does anybody here know what HQ Trivia is?
No.
Is that the thing on your phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
So on HQ Trivia this Wednesday, November 14th at 9 p.m. is Wizarding World Trivia Night presented by Fantastic Beasts.
The Crimes of Grindelwald.
So all you have to do is download the app. It's on any app store, Google Play, Apple, whatever. HQ Trivia. The icon is like purple with an HQ in it.
Purple.
You just make
that
it.
That was really crappy.
You just make an account, and then at 9 o'clock it goes live, and then you have to listen to this guy who's really annoying talk for like 5 minutes.
Scott.
And then they ask you questions, and they are giving away with this one. They are giving away $50,000, and you get a movie theater rented out for you and your friends to see the new Fantastic Beasts movie.
When is it going to be rented out?
I don't know. Mm. But so what they do, like, okay, so that sounds really awesome, right? $50,000, but it's like $50,000 divided by how many people win all the questions. So usually it's like $1 a person.
What happens if you have no friends and you get a movie theater rented out?
Then it's just you. You get to see it all by yourself.
Don't worry. Florence will be there, Sarah.
So everybody should go and download the HQ Trivia app.
It's
and
really
do
fun.
Harry Potter trivia. It is fun. Friends trivia was the other night.
I'm not kidding, bomb at that. It'd be so good. I don't play trivia though, like on my phone.
It's fun.
Do it.
Okay, I have another weekly profit.
Give it to me.
So the lovely folks over at Expedition Roasters gave us coffee to give away to our listeners. And let me tell you how funny this is. Yes.
What kind of coffee?
Well, it's not coffee. Yeah. It's coffee.
Coffee.
We don't drink coffee. We drink coffee.
And it's not garbage.
No, so, it's actually very tasty.
I actually have known about Expedition Roasters for a while. Katie and I are big fans of their Disney-themed roasts. And
shout out to the Burkhart.
Shout out to the Burkhart Project who introduced us to Expedition Roasters. However, they then came out with a Wizarding World line of coffee grounds, and they have a flavor for each house. So they have a Ravenclaw blend, which is like blueberry. They have Gryffindor, which is chocolate sherry. Slytherin is caramel crunch, and Hufflepuff is butterscotch. We have just tried the blueberry before we recorded, and we all really liked it.
I don't want to try I want to try the caramel one tomorrow, not the butterscotch.
Okay.
Didn't we say that?
No, I said butterscotch.
Oh.
I mean, I think they would both be good. I'm more of a caramel fan, so that's why I want to drink that one.
That's fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's really good.
Yeah.
It's not as like it's sweet. So
you're
going
to smell it more so than I won't lie, I was a little skeptical. And I genuinely really do like it. I actually want some cream in my coffee.
I tried to tell them that it was not like overly sweet and gross like most flavored coffees, but they didn't want to believe me. Yeah.
It's very good.
Like, it's very aromatic as opposed to like flavor.
Yeah, you smell it. Like I could smell it in the other room and I was like, oh my God, it smells like blueberry
patch.
And it was really good.
Yeah, I mean,
it
very is really good.
I'm still drinking it.
I'm enjoying it.
So if you guys, we're giving away a set. We're going to give away a house coffee to one person in each house. I posted something on our Facebook yesterday and asked people to post their coffee selfies. And then we randomized the list and we put your houses with you and we randomized one from each house. And there are winners that we're going to announce. However, if you don't win, or if you win and you really like it and you want more, they were really kind and gave us a discount code for our listeners. And I'm just throwing this out there so that people don't think that I'm like plugging this to make money or anything. Like we get nothing for this. They
except
just gave us a
except
code.
Except the coffee.
Yeah, we got some coffee to try. But like, you know, I'm not plugging this coffee so that like we make money off of it. It is just really good coffee.
Correct.
I reached out to them and asked if we could work together, and they sent us some coffee to give away and try. And then they gave us and all of our listeners a discount code, SwishFlick15. Just go on Expedition Roasters website, expeditionroasters.com. And it's 15% off your whole order. So like you can buy one of each flavor and you'll get 15% off the entire order. It's not just one item. And it's reasonably priced.
And this was so funny because this came out at the same time. What was the episode called?
I believe I called it Coffee Sponsor Us.
Because in that episode, I was like, coffee, sponsor my life or something like that. And then Megan's like, hey, I got a coffee thing. And I was like, what? Yeah, it was total fake.
Yeah, it like came out that week and I reached out to them like as soon as they posted the picture pretty much. Like
it was awesome.
Hey, we should work together.
And so. Just so if you, because I, out of the four of us, I'm the one that is the most boring when I'm drinking coffee. They do have like just plain regular coffee. So if you decide like, oh, I want to try their coffee, but I don't do flavors, they have that as well.
They're Disney themed just by the name. Like I think that the one plain one is called like Main Street Roast. It's like Colombian coffee.
Yeah, if you guys got questions.
And then there's also like a morning blend that's Cars themed called like Route 66.
They have one called Dark Side Roast, which is just, I'm assuming they're dark roast.
Yes.
And it says, come join the dark side. Whether your day involves ruling the galaxy or crushing a rebellion, Dark Side Roast will give you the power to complete your mission. You'll never have something else because I didn't click on the full thing. But that's really cool, and it really makes me want to buy some coffee.
If you guys have questions about like other flavors too, me and Meg have tried quite a few. So hit us up.
We'll We've tried a lot of the Disney ones.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll have to check more out because I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're good.
And it lasts a while.
Do we know where they get their beans from?
I'm not positive.
Coffee.
Coffee beans from a tree.
I like coffee.
Do we want to give these away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're each going to give away our house flavor.
Okay.
So Tiffany's first.
And if you haven't heard these, we'll post the link to Expedition Roasters and the winners for this week's episode. Yes.
All right. My Gryffindor housemate, who is getting
chocolate cherry,
Sue Doty.
Congrats!
You're supposed to roar like a lion.
Do it. So my Slytherin sister Sarah Maddie is winning caramel crunch Slytherin coffee.
Enjoy your caramel snakes.
What's an H word?
Hufflepuff?
Hungry Hufflepuff.
Yeah. My fellow hungry Hufflepuff. Tony Pratt, you're getting some butterscotch.
Yep.
Coffee. Couldn't remember what it was.
Scotch?
I don't know. The Raven Clawsome girl that's going to get. Oh, geez. Girl, you're a lady. Carly Vents is winning the blueberry.
Cobbler.
Cabla.
And that's what we're eating. Or
eating. That's we are not eating it. We're not
drinking
it.
Yours. You get a fresh bag.
Right. Unless you want.
Each of our hands has been dipped into the coffee that you're winning.
Congratulations. We're gross.
So if the, I'll reach out to the four of you and we'll get those shipped out this week. Yes. I promise.
Yes.
Hold me to it.
Oh, we'll do it.
We'll do
it. Yeah, you'll do
we've
it.
Actually,
me to it. We will do it.
We've actually been on top of shipping out stuff, so. Mm-hmm.
Way to go, you guys.
Fun fact, this coffee's gluten-free and allergen-free.
Ooh. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. All right.
Tiffany, I've missed this.
Hello.
Hello.
I had to do it last time.
Yeah, I know.
It's time for the recap.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Do you ever get annoyed by doing that?
No. It's a part of me now.
You want me a Coke?
Oh, yes.
They're upstairs. Get one.
All right. So last time, Meg and I'm Katie, if you didn't know, finished up our Halloween special talking about the history of Makuza, Rappaport's Law, which is, cannot talk to Mo Madges.
No Madges.
Mo Madge.
Mo Madge, more problems.
This is why people hate us.
Episode title.
Also why they love us.
And the difference between
money.
European Wizarding World and the American Wizarding World. So, yeah.
Also, the A in Makuza doesn't stand for anything, in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that really held me up on that episode.
Yeah, no, I heard you.
I was like, I know what it stands for. Magical.
Long pause.
What is the
magical
A stand
long
for?
Pause? Yep.
Yep.
So, I'm going to give you the summary that I didn't write. Essentially, we're going to talk about how the movie and the book are different because there's some stuff in the movie and some stuff in the book that aren't in each other.
What?
Good and job. Sarah is a robot.
I did make a doc. And I was like, this is like 2 months ago or maybe even three. And I was like, talk about how the movie and the book are different in something else. And like, it was it. Like, there was one sentence where like, they're different. Kay thinks bye.
I like that. I like that. I want to preface this episode by saying I love this book, obviously. And I love this movie. But when I watch the movie, I don't think about the book. I keep them separate. But today, nope. I'm being critical.
Today we're calling them out.
Being critical.
True.
I just don't want anyone to think I don't like this movie because I really do. But if I'm going to break it down.
I can never compare the movies.
Nope. It's
two and the books.
Total different.
Yeah.
Things. Yeah.
Are they?
Okay. Yes. One's a film.
Okay.
One's on
Tiffany, pages. Now you're doing it.
I'm with the same paper. Okay. Are we going to talk about all of this article or am I just going to skip to. This old
I figured that we would do like the big parts that I pointed out in the doc and mm-hmm. then we could circle back and like just kind of skim the article and talk about what we like okay. the secondary all important right. things.
Do you want to know why like I lost my train of thought.
Do you want to know why?
Oh, when you're like something about like don't like oh gosh.
Do you even do a podcast?
Can I even speak words?
No,
not most of the time, but you know, it's like a therapy session for you. Do you know what you were gonna say?
No.
All right. Let's dive on in.
Out of square because you're not around.
Oh, bringing it full circle.
Oh my god.
No, but like, oh, like, don't be square or something like that because you're not around, like, when you're going
oh,
somewhere.
Oh, right, right.
What's that saying?
I don't know.
Oh, wait. It's right there. Be there, be square.
Yeah. Be there, be square because you're not around.
It took us this long to get there.
Someone in the beginning of this is screaming it. Be there, be square.
Be there, be square.
Okay.
Let's do this.
So, did you guys, when you first saw this, because sometimes, like, Katie and I, We take in whatever our author gives us. We take in whatever our directors or whatever give us in the movie, right? Our actors.
All.
Right.
Yeah.
When you first saw this, were you mad. Like, ah!
No.
When it comes to Lumos Maxima under the blankets.
I was annoyed.
Hold on. Before we really even start this, when you first saw this movie, how did you feel?
I loved it.
I hated it.
Oh, well, okay.
I was, I mostly liked it, but there were glaring things that annoyed me.
Yes, yes.
I think the only thing that really bugged me was the grounds.
Yes.
That was
hated
it.
Hated it.
Oh, really?
Really? I love that.
No.
But it was so different.
Too
from
hilly.
The first
you
two
didn't, it's not what you thought. I thought it's,
so like,
it was so different.
In my head, and I think part of it is because there was a new Dumbledore, which.
That Brandon, didn't help.
In a perfect world, he would have been the same one. Rest right. his soul.
R.I.P.
But
pour one out.
It makes it sound so insensitive, but
we're not. That's like legitimate.
But like when I saw it, when I was what? When did it come out? When I was 13 years old. So like I'm so used to those two movies in my head, and I had read the book. So like pre the movies even coming out, because when the first movie came out, all four books were out, right? The first four.
The first four, yeah.
So I had read all That's four crazy. Of those books. So I knew going in. So I had, but when I like probably reread the third one before it came out, had those visions of the first two movies in my head. So I was like super disappointed with everything changed. There was a new Dumbledore. The grounds looked different.
You don't like change,
do
you?
What is this?
Yeah.
But I will say now it's one of my favorites.
So I have
true,
to say,
true for me.
Now that, so Katie and I went to Annick Castle, which is where they filmed like the flying lesson. They filmed the castle grounds in the first two films. A couple.
Are you
times.
Bragging about?
I'm bragging. No, but like Annick Castle is in England, not Scotland. So like, England is not as hilly as Scotland. So they totally just like changed the location of Hogwarts from the second to third movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the third movie, they filmed in Glencoe. That's the Highlands. That's like
big, gigantic green hills.
Massive green hills, which is just completely different from Annick Castle.
Yeah.
So it's like it's cool, but at the same time, it's like, why would you so drastically change it like that?
Right.
But at least they kept it from the third movie on, you know, like they didn't change it again.
Yeah.
Well, like,
which would have bothered me.
The fact that the ground, it was just like,
it
wouldn't have mattered if like the distance from like what it seemed like from the castle to Hagrid's hut, it seemed like just a stone's throw. in the first two ones.
Yeah.
And then it felt like I had to take an 80-minute walk to like down the hill. Like that's the hill didn't bother me.
It was the hill
just
bothered me.
Like everything just, and again, it was a different director. Everything was different. So
yeah. I mean,
a lot of things changed, which I mean, it's fine. And I genuinely, it's one of my favorite movies now. Mm-hmm. Probably my favorite one out of all of them, actually.
I guess like most readers, when you get your own picture right in your head,
yeah,
it was just so different from what my Hogwarts was, you know what I mean? And I feel like the first two movies helped my vision of Hogwarts, and this one completely like flipped it, and I was like, what? And that's why I think, like, I mean, but that's with any reader, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that they just wanted, like, you know, like, as the movies go on, Hogwarts itself grows. Like, mm-hmm. through all eight movies, yeah. it gets bigger. They add sections. They changed what things looked like, mm-hmm. like, throughout the entire thing. But I think that they were just trying to expand it. So, like, the first two movies, it just, like, seemed so concentrated in, like, mm-hmm. those little areas with, yeah, you know, the forest was right there. Hagrid's hut was right there. But they just wanted you to understand, like, the broadness of, like, where Hogwarts was.
Yeah.
So, like, I understood why they did it, and I ended up really liking it a lot. It was shocking at first seeing it, but, yeah. like, it grew on me really quickly. That's how it was for me, at least.
Okay.
Like, I saw it. I loved the feel of the third movie, like, how he made everything darker.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the colors of the uniform.
I mean, it should have been, though, you know?
Yeah, because it's really when you start...
The WB. The WB
everything started getting darker. The book started getting a little bit darker.
Yeah.
You know.
And I love that they kept that WB theme going all the way through the last one.
So good.
Yeah. It just got darker and darker.
And I love
what is Fantastic Beasts and darker. Look like?
I don't know.
Like gold. It's like shiny silver, I think.
I wonder if it'll change. We got to keep our eye on it.
Is it gold? I think Crimes is silver, though.
Oh, really?
I mean, you have the internet highway right there. So.
I like on Tumblr. They would, a lot of times you'd see, like, if you follow Potter people or, you know, Potter related thing, like pages on Tumblr, they would, a lot of times you'd always see, like, they'd have them all in order, the WB signs, and they see, it's like, oh my gosh,
yes.
like, you almost forget until you see them all together. You're like, yeah.
Can we post that? Can we post that?
The Warner Brothers thing?
Yeah, with all of them. Yeah. Yeah, that'll be pretty cool.
I know that that's gotta be somewhere.
Yeah.
And, like, another thing, too, I know, at least with me, because I'm not always, like, the best reader, where, like, sometimes I'll skip details. Mm-hmm, so, like, when I'm reading things, regardless of what I'm actually reading, I'm going to have my own thing in my head. So, like, that's another thing going into the movie that we all probably thought it looked different from what each other thought. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So,
because it's your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like I said, it ended up being one of, I think, my favorite movie. They also look, because I was like 13 at the time, so I was like, oh, Ron and Harry just look so cute. Yes.
I loved me some Rupert Grint
in
this movie.
Oh my God. Rupert Grint.
You know, I don't ever remember being like, oh my gosh, they're so cute.
Oh God,
I remember being
I
want to meet Hermione.
No, Rupert for sure.
The the third movie is when my crush started.
That's an angry
really
baby.
Well. It started before this, but it just, like, was solidified in the third one.
Like, all of a sudden, I was like, yeah. And, like, it sounds weird saying it now, because, like, when you watch the movie, they're still 13, but, like, when
I'm
it
like,
came out, I
child.
Like, we're the same age.
Yeah.
So, like, I still think he's a good-looking guy, you know?
Yeah.
I love me a ginge guy.
Half-Blood Prince Ron.
I just don't. My biggest gripe.
Where are we?
My biggest gripe with the fourth one is I just want to cut everybody's hair.
We're not there yet. Don't talk about four. To three. Katie, your thoughts on the grounds.
On the grounds?
Yeah.
They're wet.
Everybody else gave their opinion.
They always do look
They do. Wet. They always look wet.
I think they're beautiful, but now that you pointed out in my head, that's not how I pictured it.
Did you picture it more like one and two or something different?
Like one and two, but much wider. Mm. Bigger.
Like flatter?
Like flatter, yeah. But like it was a great distance to where you got to the lake over here.
Doesn't
the forest.
Make sense.
No, it doesn't. But that's how it is in my head. And I never thought about it till you started saying.
Because if Hogwarts really is in Scotland, it's not
going to be hilly.
Right. You know what's so interesting though? Until reading.
But did she write about the hills? You know what I mean?
I think maybe when they're on the train she did. I don't know.
Well, like when reading. this one being Prisoner. I don't know why I said it like that. At the beginning, I completely forgot. Well, maybe because this is the first time Harry's on his way. Because the first year he took the boat, and then the second year he took the car. So this is the first time you really get to see them take the carriages up, and you realize how, because it takes them a minute. Like, they don't just get there really quickly. They're on that carriage ride for a long time. And that just gives you, like, how big the grounds really are. And it's something that I think when you're reading, it's hard to visualize that. And so this, I think this book or this movie, I mean, did a good job in retrospect of me now liking it.
Yeah.
Did a good job at highlighting how large the grounds are. Large. Which is also a good thing, because you don't really, if the Forbidden Forest is forbidden, except for first years doing detentions, they really shouldn't
neither
be
here super, nor there.
Yeah, it shouldn't be super close to the school, lest the werewolves get out or something.
True.
Or other creepy crawlers, like those giant spiders.
Ooh.
Ron probably still has nightmares about them.
Oh, I would.
Cross your fingers that he does.
So mean.
I know, right?
Hermione's there to cuddle him at night.
That's true. Okay, get into my piece.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so this is a big one because I feel like a lot of people always like point this one out. It's if you go to the article, did we say what article we're using?
The Leaky Cauldron. I'll post the link to it. It'll be the first link that posts so that people see it.
Okay. If you scroll down a bit, it's headed with At the Dursleys, so it's going with Harry studying, and it says when the book starts, Harry is writing a paper on witch burning, yet when the movie starts, Harry is practicing magic, Lumos, under the covers. Big no, no.
Because the previous year he got a letter saying you can't do hovering charms.
So even if you're a non-book reader and you're watching the movies just for the experience of the movies, are you going to be wildly confused by this? Because us book readers are also like, what are you doing? And Joe, where were you?
It surprised me that she let that happen.
That's a big no-no.
Yeah.
Especially since
maybe
the previous year.
Well, he's not doing it in front of any muggles, so it doesn't matter.
No.
Hold on.
I would agree, but I'm just saying.
So he says he does the Lumos Maxima thing.
Correct.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Then Aunt Marge comes to stay. Then everything literally blows up. Then
literally.
So he grabs his trunk and Uncle Vernon's like, you put her back, you put her right. And he points his wand at him, doesn't he? And he's like, you can't use magic. Doesn't he say you can't use magic outside of school? You just did at night. What, like a week ago.
It's all very confusing.
It was purely for that very beginning with the WB logo and the light. I mean,
and I appreciate the way it looked.
Yeah. That seemed to me that is a very Alfonso Cuarón thing to do. He's just very into visuals.
Well, he needs to be very into the canon.
I don't disagree.
Hold on, let me take a sip.
Well, I don't disagree, but I think that I'm guessing that that is how they approached it to Joe, is that it was purely a visual thing for the WB logo, and it was a really cool beginning to the movie, and she probably just kind of got wrapped up in it, like, oh, that does look cool, and that's why it was approved.
Like I said, I appreciate it, but
Alfonso was probably like, well, in the last movie, Chris Columbus did the same thing because Hermione fixed Harry's glasses.
Oh, that's true, but
in Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
But at least she was surrounded by magic.
So, I shouldn't ask this because it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I'm going to write it down, though, but it has to do with Harry Potter, just not.
Just makes me think of Adam Sandler when he's like, proceed. All right. What else do we want to say about that? Just a no-no.
Big no.
Big no.
I will say I do like, I can hear it in my head when he's like trying to do this stuff. He's like, Lumos Maxima. Lumos Maxima.
He has a very distinct voice. I love him.
Yeah.
We love you, Dan. And if you would like to hear about witch things, check out the previous episodes.
How cool is that? That like it just coincided so well.
It did.
Yeah, writing.
I had a lot of fun doing that.
That was a really good time.
It was fun.
Well, the whole recording, it wasn't as great.
Right.
Hashtag cursed episode.
But finally getting down and talking about it. I love stuff.
The
like
little
that.
MacBook Air pulled through. We're doing okay. For now.
Don't talk too much about it. You're going to jinx yourself.
I'll jinx myself.
Alrighty, Rue. Shall we continue?
My turn.
Fireball flying in the sky.
We're hitting the big ones right now, right? And then we're diving into the other ones. Okay.
Let's talk about the bolt of fire.
Oh, I got really confused. I thought you said the Baggins. I was like, that's not the same thing.
Is this an unexpected podcast?
What's that?
It's the hot run, okay? Come on.
Unexpectedly, all right.
Let's get up with the firebolt.
So, as we know, because we just finished covering Prisoner of Azkaban, how Harry got his broom was in the mail, and that it was for Christmas. And then Hermione freaks out about it, talks to Professor McGonagall. She takes it away so that they can test it to make sure everything's okay because they think it's from Sirius. It is, actually, but it's not cursed.
Go on.
But then he finally gets it back in the end. However, in the movie, the Firebolt doesn't exist for like basically the entire movie until the very last scene. He walks into the Great Hall, and Ron is stammering, saying like, I didn't mean to open it. It just happened.
It was badly wrapped.
Oh my god.
And then he walks in and it's open on the table and it's a firebolt and it comes with a feather, which is Buckbeak. So we know that it's Sirius. And then that stupid ending scene with Harry's smeared face across the screen.
Listen,
I hate it.
You were just talking about Mr. Alfonso's.
I mean, I know that is, I'm sure that it was another visual thing
what
that he wanted
like,
to do.
The drawing table, right? Hear me out, guys.
Smear face.
What if I smear his face across this theater screen?
No.
Anybody? Bueller.
I have to say that I love at the end of the book when they find out it was him, and Hermione's like, "Well, I was right, wasn't I?"
I know.
And Ron's so like, Hermione. "Still."
Ron's like, "Yeah, but nothing was wrong with it." Can I snowball on that?
We don't have that mic down here.
I was just going to ask.
It's not cold enough for that yet either.
Hey, there was snow today. There was snow today.
I was going to ask if people hated the change, didn't care about the change.
It bothered me.
It was stupid.
But you think this change was stupid?
Like to just have it at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're all in agreement. It's like the more of the book in the movie you get, the better. Yeah.
That's how every one of these episodes is going to be.
Yeah. But I like the idea of him getting something for Christmas that, like, he almost every year gets something. Like, I didn't expect this.
Yeah.
And
then
Hermione has to go and, like, ruin it.
What I super didn't like about this change is that not only did this affect, like, the storyline of him getting the broom, but it also interfered with, like, Quidditch in general.
Mm-hmm. Quidditch.
So, like, the Quidditch World Cup didn't happen.
House
or the Quidditch House Cup.
I was going to be like, wait, what? And then it really hit.
Can you
in a couple
hold
months.
On?
A couple months, I would say. But like, you know, Harry and Oliver didn't get their Quidditch World Cup.
So here's my question
World
about
Cup.
Quidditch.
You keep saying
whatever. Quidditch Cup. House Cup.
House
Quidditch
Cup.
House Cup.
So we, if you don't know, now you do, that J.K. Rowling didn't like writing Quidditch. So she writing it.
I don't think they liked filming it
either. I was going to ask that. Question.
Have you ever seen the behind the scenes? The green screen and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild.
A long time. It's been a long
time. Dan has talked about how much he hated it.
I think there's a lot of aspects of filming these movies that he didn't care for.
All those action
I think that
scenes
it hurts
is hard.
Men.
I mean, you're super.
Why are you looking at me like this? You're like, I think it hurts.
She's judging whether she should have continued the sentence.
Yeah.
Continue the joke.
Is it a joke?
Oh, gosh.
No.
That's Boondock Saints, man.
Never seen it.
Oh, I didn't get that reference.
I mean, I think I've seen it once a long time
ago. All right.
But I'm trying to think of, like, I also like seeing, like, words. Like, McGonagall, she wants to win that cup so bad.
Yeah. Her struggle.
And then
take that broom away.
I wish you could see more of that. Yeah.
But think about how much she cares about Harry to have done that.
Well, and honestly, like, I would have loved to seen that game. Like,
yeah.
Because honestly, like,
that introduced
Slytherin.
Cedric.
Well, yeah, that
didn't it?
Too.
Oh, wait, no.
Well,
Cedric.
All of them
Another change is that in the first Quidditch game, that's supposed to be Cedric that he's playing against and loses against, but it's just a random. Hufflepuff, because they didn't cast Cedric at that point.
Mm. He gets shocked by lightning and goes, ooh!
Yeah, and then falls back. Yeah.
He does.
Oh, and we... So. Oh, well, that's not part of what we're talking about.
Okay.
We get to... You don't get to see Malfoy dressed up as a Dementor. Nope. I would have loved to seen that.
That would have been great.
Someone recently was like, I wish they had had more of him in all of the movies.
Yeah.
And I totally agree.
I mean, you get a lot in 6, yeah. But he was such... a huge part
of the
book. Of him, Harry's honestly, experience
and him uh-huh. and Neville like I, you
and it
I
builds it yes. builds to the that final time
like,
which
I
makes
wish
sense
seen more of them both you know yeah. both Neville and Draco like you don't realize how much they're in these books
I need a little more Malfoy
yeah,
I need a little more
shave a little more
I need
top.
A little Malfoy redemption post war would be cool
cursed child.
That doesn't count.
It actually Tiffany, does, man,
it, does. It needs more.
It's so good.
I mean, I'm not saying that doesn't count. I'm saying I want something else.
Like Draco is better than Harry in that.
Like, give me
well, you
all,
know how I
all
feel
Harry
about,
Potter
and I
books.
Finish reading it. How I feel about Harry and cursed child.
It comes across better.
I don't
out.
Know how saying that. Comes across any other which way than horrible.
We cannot.
Well,
we cannot do Cursed Child. I'm just saying, give me all the Harry Potter books, but instead it's Draco Malfoy and
yeah,
blah blah blah. With those titles,
my
be?
Father will hear about this.
That would be the prisoner for sure.
Oh my god, guys! I just
my
read
dad's
the part.
Boss that came back, Draco
just,
Malfoy and
the
bloody
the
chicken.
Oh my god! Sorry. I just read the part where Moody turns him into a ferret, and God, it's just so good. It's just so good.
I have a lot
I
of
really
questions
like
on
Goblet.
Moody.
I don't think he's real.
I think that he's kind of a moody. Faker. That's
a foodie.
What I think.
A moody foodie. I'm a moody
he's
foodie.
He's a phony.
A big fat phony.
He's a phony. Hey, that guy's a phony. He's a big fat phony. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
That's Family Guy.
What did you want a snowball on?
You said it.
The Quidditch World Cup.
No, the
Quidditch House Cup.
Get out.
I haven't seen that yet.
I'm reading Goblet of Fire right now. That's my excuse. I'm sorry.
Oh, Goblet of Fire. All right. Is that out on the...
Marauders.
All right, Katie. I see you got the part you wanted.
I didn't assign that to myself.
Yeah, well you your know. Wife didn't.
Okay, so they don't exist. The end. Yeah.
Slow clap them out.
This was my... biggest disappointment with this movie. Let's yep. see what this article says, though. So, the backstory of the map and how it came to be was never mentioned. So there's one part in the Shrieking Shack where all they have to say is, we were friends in school, at least. Nope. Never.
We
never.
Are Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs.
We are the Marauders.
But instead, they had to put in 85 Whomping Willow scenes, shaking leaves off, and snow. But whatever.
Thank you, Alfonso.
I really like those.
And your
I
dang like them too,
visuals.
But let me smear some more faces.
I feel like it helps you remember that it's a sentient.
The time is moving.
Well, no. Time is moving. Whatever. Time is irrelevant.
I literally hate those scenes.
Also,
I want to punch a wall whenever I see them.
They misspelled.
Well, don't punch the tree because it'll punch you back.
Oh my gosh. The punching pine. what was I going to say? I lost it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
The map. The scene.
I'm the map.
Trees.
I'm
the map.
If there's a place you want to go, I can get you there. I know.
Oh,
I'm the map.
Thank you. You got me back to my thought.
You're welcome.
They misspelled Mooney, which I think was supposed to be a call out to like want someone working on the film whose name was Monney. No, don't mess with that. Don't mess with it. Just leave it how it's supposed to
they
be.
They fixed it in later movies.
Yeah, but I don't care. That was its debut. Purveyors of Magical Mischief. That's it.
It really does annoy me. It does. And like it's so prominent on the screen at that one point, and I'm just like, oh, they misspelled it. But then they fix it.
You know what else I don't like?
I didn't even notice it, if I'm quite honest.
I didn't notice it either. I don't like how Snape finds out. I mean, I like it in the film, but I like it better in the book where he finds the bit of parchment and it makes fun of him.
Why is Harry just wandering the halls? Wouldn't you do that? That's a quality comedic scene.
That's one of my favorite
scenes.
They
in the movie, it's just a little bit different.
It's shorter.
He's wandering the hall. Because isn't he looking for Peter Pettigrew? Yeah. He sees them walking.
Yes.
And so whatever, and it's pull that light out.
Are you deaf? So as we know, three of the Marauders were animagi.
I was gonna be like, no, they all are, and it's like, no, one's a werewolf.
Nope. And that's not Feast mentioned. Werewolf. That's not mentioned that they're unregistered. Animagi.
That's a really big thing. I think they could have.
Because
I
mean, that's why even, Sirius well, could escape.
But you didn't even need to like elaborate on that anymore either. Even if you just mentioned it, people could like put the pieces together.
Right. Right. Well, like you don't even see Rita at all.
No. No. Movie watchers don't know about her doing that.
Ugh. That's another bit of so reading Hot Cup of Fire. I'm over her, and I'm just at the beginning of the book.
Oh, I'm over about her. To.
She's honestly, everything that's wrong with media.
Oh, she's literally the worst.
I hope she's really J.K. Rowling, though.
Okay.
Oh, I know that theory. So, yeah, the unregistered animagus and then how Sirius escaped from Azkaban is not mentioned. It's just like, oh, well, he did it. Nobody's ever done it before. I don't know how he did it.
Katie.
Goodness, she's angry.
Who sees Peter Pettigrew? So in the book, Remus sees Pettigrew on the map, but in the movie, Harry sees him and like ventures out, and then that leads into that also incorrect scene. That yeah, also incorrect scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the insults, we don't get to hear, we only hear Moonies, which I mean, that's the one that matters, but we don't get to hear all of them, and they're hilarious.
Yeah.
They are hilarious.
What is his
abnormally large nose out of other people's business?
I actually really like, that's the only instance I like Peter because he calls him a slime ball and it makes me laugh.
True.
Should wash his hair.
The slime ball.
The dirty slime ball or something.
Sorry to you Snape lovers.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's a funny joke. I just read the scene where he tells Hermione that he doesn't see a difference in her teeth and I just want to reach through the pages of my book and yank his hair out.
Oh, wow.
Okay. It is not so very mean.
I was thinking, though.
Why is he so mean to her?
Well, you know what, J.K. Rowling? How she set, I feel like, and I think people agree, that she set us up to dislike Slytherins and to think Hufflepuffs are like...
Duffers.
Yes. So I was reading another description, because, you know, at the beginning of all her books, she kind of describes what's been happening.
Yeah.
Talks about Snape and how he's the professor, whatever, yada, yada, and how he's like greasy haired, whatever. And I was like, you describe him as someone like we're meant to hate.
Yeah.
I'm like, supposed to feel how Harry feels.
Yeah. Well, Harry, go home. No, just kidding.
Harry.
It's just interesting. They're going to be 40 this year, I think. Next year. No, 20.
What? 40 this year. Yes. 20. What? 2020?
He's 38 years old.
Ew, that's weird to say.
What?
2020.
We're going to all have 2020 vision.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh my God.
The clock hits midnight. I don't need my glasses anymore.
What are these in my eyes? All right. Tis all?
Yep, for right now.
Sarah, it's your turn.
Well, right. I'm going to talk about Diagon Alley. So in the movie, he doesn't venture out into Diagon Alley at all. Where like he has 3 weeks in the book where he like goes and he has ice cream every day and he sees the fireball. Yeah.
He like only has one night in the movie, I think.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
Like maybe one or two nights.
But
two
like
nights. Maybe two nights.
I would have loved to see him walk around, do his homework, get some ice creams.
Be totally free.
Think about how amazing that ice cream would have looked because they could have made it
I'm sure.
Crazy ridiculous.
Yeah. It makes me want to go to Florida so bad.
Yeah. They don't make the ice cream look like how I think it would look in my head.
I saw Steph No Longer Renna's picture.
I know. And Megan Valdez and Kelly Lamb are there too right now.
Are they?
They're all planning on meeting
met
up.
Yeah.
Did they?
They're gonna meet. They're going to meet up.
Yeah. So
I want to throw up again. On
you
the
also see
ride.
The difference between Harry finding out about Sirius being after him because in the book he overhears Mr. and Mrs. Weasley talk about it.
Yeah.
And then in the movie, Mr. Weasley like takes him aside to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're all at
dinner. In the book, he's like going to get the rat tonic for Ron.
And like you see in the book, like how against it is, like Mrs. Weasley is. Molly's like, nah, like
don't tell him.
She's in the mindset more so like he's a kid and he should be allowed to stay a kid, which like is a good thing. And that's like a mother saying that, you know, where everyone else is like, yeah, as much as he is a kid, he deserves to hear this because it is about him and his family. And really, I mean, by the end of this, we all know like he's the key piece to saving the wizarding world.
The chosen one.
Yeah.
The chosen
one. I love that scene when she hits him.
Yeah. How cool would it have been to see all those little rats dancing?
Oh, right.
In the magical menagerie.
Yeah.
Yes. You owe me another Coke.
I wish we could have seen the magical menagerie in general.
We don't see her get Crookshanks. We just see her, like,
she's just there with
her. She's just like, oh, hey, here's this smush face cat.
And she talks about your smelly old shoe brush, like, as the rat.
Oh.
And they're fighting.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes,
what an insult to just say a shoe brush.
Yeah, but it's a rat.
Who brushes their shoes?
Rats are amazing pets.
On this if you brush your shoes.
I've never heard of that.
Really? I can see, know what it looks
like. I've done it with a golf shoe.
Well.
But it's not really like a brush. It's more like a little pick thing.
All I can think about is horses.
Okay, well, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, but like, I'm sure people that like work outside or get muddy shoes brushed. How are you going to, you just going to leave your shoes outside in the rain?
I let the mud dry and then I clap them together the next day. And the mud goes.
I'm so happy for you. And some other
moving on.
So you don't see how she gets the cat. Well, the rat tonic. I'm trying to think of what else happens in that bed.
He doesn't get to like see the firebolt and then like yearn for it.
Yeah.
You know?
So I don't think you even really, you don't even hear anything about the firebolt till the end, right?
No. Yeah.
Because in it, you see like, it's so much in the book, at least. It's so much money
you
have
to ask for a price,
which you know means it's expensive. Yeah.
So he like sees the Nimbus in the window. Like, why can't we like, do it up for the firebolt, which is super, like a huge part of these movies. I mean, think about in 4 with the task, like, and then in 5 writing it.
Like,
you know?
We know that one of his strongest suits is flying.
Correct.
Like, he's a great flyer. Aww. That's why he's a good seeker.
Yes.
He's able to seek things quickly.
He's very fly.
And snatch them.
He's so fly.
Okay.
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 And then, like I said, there's it seems like he spends 2 days, and you only really see
the Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron. You don't even see Diagon Alley at all.
That's
in London.
You know what? We noticed this while we were watching it. Do you remember? He looks out the window his room and he looks down and it's Borough Market in London.
But is that the extended edition of the movie?
No.
No. You can just see it outside.
He looks out because a train goes by.
Oh. And also, the book is completely different. The Monster Book of Monsters, because he in the book,
yes,
he gets it.
Right?
Well, it looks completely different in
green
the book.
And scaly.
And he has it in his
gold lettering.
in his house, like in his room. Like Hagrid sends it to him.
People are probably dying for like, bring the bell.
And so you don't see, like, essentially what they did was they kind of took the scene where he gets the book and they put it when he's in the Leaky Cauldron.
Right, right.
Because he gets it from Hagrid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For his birthday.
And I honestly would have loved to have seen like a million of those things like in a cage and the guy get really mad.
Yeah, and,
like,
and his clothes being ripped and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been really cool. Or just to see the book thing again. The book thing.
The
bookstore. What is wrong with me?
I think something that I really like long for is seeing like that everyday wizarding life.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be so cheesy of me, but I have to say it because it's me. But, like, when I was first starting to read them, you know, I was in, like, what, 6th or 7th grade. And, you know, I am a kid who loved to pretend. And so, like, when I would go to school, I would be like, okay, so science is like potions and blah, blah, blah. And I would, like, kind of pretend in my head a little bit that I was, like, in the wizarding world. And I loved reading about that everyday wizarding life, going to classes, doing blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And just seeing Diagon Alley when he was there, just every day, summertime, Diagon Alley would have been so great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to see, like, because you know there would be other people mulling around. So getting just to see other people just living their best life, walking around Diagon Alley, like buying things, talking to each other.
All those different kinds of witches and wizards from all over.
What I think is really cool, in the movie, they have the guy sitting there, and he thinks he's reading A Brief History of Time or whatever it's called, like Stephen Hawking. So he's reading the book, but he's also stirring the coffee with his finger. Yes. Like, that's just stuff, like, I love that.
Yeah, that was really, really cool.
So do more of those things. I mean,
remake the movies and do it.
I did the same thing.
Pretend.
Yeah, except we would do it at home. So shout out to my friend Katie, who...
Not me.
Not Katie Petrus, but Katie, who I went to grade school with and high school. She would come over and we would like... So we would have all these books and we would take little slips of paper and... say, okay, this book is our potions book. This book is our history of magic book. And like we would pretend school, but it would be Wizarding World pretend school. It's pretty all epic. The time.
I think that's really cute.
All the time.
It's really, really cute.
So I loved that.
I just pretend to like you guys.
I know.
It's a nice thing for you to pretend.
All right. So the other thing that was different were the Hogsmeade scenes. So in general, like you don't see him go behind the witch in the movie, do you?
No.
Nope.
And then you don't see him unless that's like an extended where he comes up. Is that
I think it's an extended. No. I feel like it is. You see it for like a second.
I don't know. He comes into the cellar.
But he only goes once in the movie, correct?
Yeah.
Where he goes twice in the book. Sorry, I sound like I haven't read the book. I did. And then just like the first time around, he doesn't even have his, invisibility cloak. I wanted to call it something else. So he's just like freely like, you know, woo, he's a confident dude just walking around
he's a confident dude.
No, like just, I don't know if I have the courage to do that. Cause I don't want to get in trouble.
Right. Oh my God.
And like you're Harry Potter, like you didn't get your stuff signed.
I'm assuming he isn't even thinking about the fact that teachers would go.
Yeah, but other people with eyes are there that can tell Harry Potter.
No, right. But like how many kids are going to be like, oh, I'm going to tell on you.
Draco Malfoy.
Well, amen. Yeah, but.
Anybody who's jelly.
Harry doesn't think that far ahead.
Yeah. No, he's not always the best thinker.
Hey, I think he's a really good thinker. We learned that in this
book. I think that all four of us would remember to get the cloak first. You know what I mean?
Well,
yeah.
Well, in that part too with Hogsmeade, he finds out about Sirius totally different in the movie than he does in the book.
Totally different.
Completely. Like 100%. It's like a very hurried, quick story. Like all of a sudden, it's almost like Fudge and McGonagall went to the Three Broomsticks with the intent to speak of this. Mm-hmm. But in the book, it's just like, it kind of just like happens. They're going there to get a drink. It just kind of just rolls.
Hermione has to move the
Christmas tree
in front of
him. Hide him, while he's underneath the table.
I really enjoyed that.
Well, and like you said, like it's so, like the conversation in the book is so in depth. Like you really, what I really like about them talking in the book is that you get to see Hagrid talk about it or really hear him and how emotional he gets.
Yeah. Really
and how
emotional.
He doesn't believe. Like he thinks that Sirius really was going to do something, and he loves Harry so much that the thought of someone that was so close to not only Harry but his parents could have done something. And at this point in time, we don't know that Sirius is innocent. So he's thinking that this guy betrayed his best friends, was going to probably take the child and kill him. That's what Hagrid was thinking.
Yeah,
because he was like, because Hagrid got there first, right?
Yeah,
and so Hagrid had Harry, and he was like, come on, give him to me. I'm his godfather. And then he was like, no, I'm sure that he would have just tossed him over the lake or something. And so you get to really hear his emotion and see all that in that conversation. And like they're all getting fired up. And even McGonagall gets in on it where you usually think of her as the one that's very like...
cool.
Yes.
She keeps
cool, calm, collected. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I feel like she's not always the one to jump to conclusions about other people. But I mean, all signs are pointing to Sirius, so...
Yeah.
And then in the movie, it's all very like, let's just sit around and talk about Sirius. Let's have a serious conversation.
Serious conversation.
But they like go into a private room, you know, like it's kind of,
You get to like, hear hush, Dan hush. Breathe really loud.
Oh my gosh.
And I do like that the talking heads where they're like telling them, like, not, they're like, no kids allowed or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, how rude.
I pointed that out last time. I was like, why would the Three Broomsticks have a no kids day when it's a Hogsmeade weekend visit. That just doesn't make sense.
Well, and it looks different too than the next time. Well, not, maybe not the next time, but when they're there with Slughorn, like the inside to me looks different.
Yeah.
It's like,
not that it matters. Yeah.
I feel like it changes every single time.
Yeah.
When they're having that conversation too, this is obviously not something that would be in a movie, but I loved like the connection when you hear like Hagrid ran into Sirius and Sirius gave him his motorbike and that's how Harry got to the Dursleys. Yeah. That blew my mind when I read that the first time.
Yeah. So like, little pieces need to be.
And he still has it, in. Right?
What?
He still has the motorbike.
Yeah, they use it.
Yeah, it's in 7 when Arthur soups it up with the brick wall and stuff.
You know, he has a piece of him. Because he even was like, he gave me his motorbike. He goes, so I knew he was going to like go and do something drastic kind of thing.
He loved that thing.
So it like makes, he goes to Hagrid, it makes perfect sense that he would give him the motorbike and then go and kill all those people. Because he's like, once I've killed these people, like,
I'm not going to need it.
I would kill myself or I would go to prison, which either way, I don't need my motorbike. So have like you take it. And so the other stuff, like how Draco sees him is different. I'm like completely forgetting what the book was.
In the book, he sees his head.
Well, it he only slips. Sees his head in the movie.
No, he doesn't see his head. He doesn't see Harry at all in the movie. He just
gets he slips it off after hit. He's throwing him with a throwing.
Yeah, he hits snowballs, and then Draco just runs. Whereas in the book,
he sees him.
He sees Harry's head, and then like runs to go tell somebody. So Harry has to run too to get back in time.
He's like, "Why was your head in?"
And that's how it leads into that Snape conversation.
Yeah. Right, and the map and all that. Yeah. So,
and I like, though, that both times, like, Lupin was like, bro, it's just like a Zonko's. Don't you worry about it.
Definitely said bro.
He did. I heard him both times. He's like, nah, bro.
Sarah's a portrait at Hogwarts.
I was the one that told him to put his light out.
Put that light out.
So I wish that you could have seen that more, because like you get to, after that, he even tells Harry, like, I put my neck out for you. Like, I know that I lied to you. Not lied to you, but like lied to Sirius or Severus.
For you, yeah.
Yeah. So I wish you could see that more. I wish you could see more Lupin and Harry together.
Yes.
Those are my favorites, obviously.
It would be good.
What else to say?
All right. Shall we circle back?
Circle back around.
Two bumps in a square.
I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head.
So in the movie, you only see Buckbeak, but in the books, there's like a lot more hippogriffs. I think it would have been
there's
cool.
Like a whole, like, what would you call them? A flock? A gaggle?
Yeah. I think it would have been cool to like see the different colors and the patterns that like hippogriffs could have had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even just like if they were in a paddock. Like, I need more beasts.
Did you guys ever notice?
You know what I mean? Give me the beasts.
Yes. Yeah. Did you ever notice that Buckbeak poops in the movie?
Yes.
I've heard that, but I haven't seen it.
What?
Once you watch that scene and you stare at
just stare at his butt the whole time.
Which is so great because it means they had to edit in and they were like, we're going to do something funny and put it in to see if anyone
notices.
Did they
use real horses for that scene and then edit or nah?
No, it was like Buckbeak's head on a stick.
How do you act with that?
Wasn't Dobby just a ball on a stick?
Yeah, he's a tennis ball on a stick.
Ball on a stick. Ball on a stick. It's a ball on a stick. Ball on a stick. Or as they like to call it, Dobby.
The other thing that I really missed was the Sirius and Crookshanks relationship.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't see that they had a friendship at all.
He helped at all.
You don't see his little jaunty tail held high.
Well, like,
Crookshanks actually, like...
is smart.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's not just a cat.
He's a super key piece in this book for making things happen.
He's very intuitive. And I was reading in Hot Cup of Fire where they were faking their homework essentially. And it was like, it's almost as like Crookshanks knew that we were making all of this up. I'm like, he probably did. Like you guys aren't like, you know, that able to hide that.
Yeah.
Words. But yeah.
Words. Words.
What I do like the movie showing, though, was kind of Hermione like fluttering in at the very last second, like in certain scenes where they're like, you weren't just there.
Yeah.
She's just here the whole time.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
When did she come in? Did you see her coming?
I also like the scene where, like, Harry is like talking to Buckbeak or doing whatever, bowing and all that stuff. And you see Ron and Hermione, like, in the background and they almost
went. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that was good.
I like the inkling of romance. Though I don't like how, like, I wish that we could have seen Harry liking Cho in this movie.
Did
lead up to Goblet of Fire.
I forgot about it.
Do you think Joe, like, told them, like, the outcome? Be like, okay, these guys are going to eventually end up together. Let's just give it a little bit of a piece.
No, I don't think so.
No?
Oh, you mean the director? Did you mean the peeps?
The director. Like, or was it just like a juvenile thing?
I would say a-hoo thing.
Okay.
I will say that I did not realize until rereading, because, you know, I don't remember anything, that Cho Chang was older than Harry by a whole school year.
I ain't Cho Chang.
Did you know? So in our Facebook group, a couple people have like started posts. Like one was like about unpopular opinions, and then the other, they started a poll about least favorite characters.
Oh,
Cho was number two.
Who was number one?
Snape. Oh.
Snape. Not even Umbridge did not get number two. Snape.
Or were they talking about like,
it was
hero?
Somebody who, sorry, it was somebody who was supposed to be portrayed as a hero, but you actually really disliked.
I mean,
number one was Snape, two was Cho Chang.
I just don't remember her all that much. She, like, she's a forgettable character.
She kind
for
of
me.
Annoyed me.
Well, like, well, she's sorting through some emotions. She went through a lot.
Just because you don't have the emotional range of a teaspoon.
She had the emotional range of a freaking tureen. A bathtub.
Well, like, my thing is, like, I'm either here nor there with her. Like,
yeah, I kind of just wasn't.
Yeah, she's a blah for me a little bit.
Which is fine. You need those types of characters to fill in the story.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I just...
She's like the lettuce on a sandwich to me.
Yes, the iceberg lettuce. Oh. I'm sorry.
Sometimes you want a little bit. Sometimes you're like, I could do
without
it.
I could do without it. But
like,
it
would have been... I need a piece of ham. Like, Harry, Ron, Hermione, they're all ham.
Here is my thing. I think when reading it, especially the first time...
You're an idiot.
But I just
Snape's the tomato, get it off.
I don't think I wanted my Harry to be with her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I knew that it wasn't going to last.
And I just didn't like it. I don't know. I think I secretly in not secretly, but in my heart of hearts I wanted like Harry and Hermione.
Oh no, never.
Oh.
I never got that when reading it.
I think I did that the first time. And then the second time,
Harry and Jenny.
I thought you were going to say Harry and Ron.
No, I was hard for Ron and Hermione.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was very much. I always got that from when I read it. It was Ron and Hermione, Harry and Jenny. Like,
there's a huge following of Hermione and Fred.
Yes.
Yes. Because, he's nice to her in the books.
Hermione.
Give me some more of that. Swish and flick.
I don't mind that. There's also somewhere that's like Fred, George, and Hermione.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's another story for another day.
Well, he brought the arm.
The whole dog's down here.
Nope, the tongue's not.
Oh, he still can't talk.
Fuzzy bear. Eat it.
All right. What else we got?
What else we got?
Yes. Okay.
Leading into the slap that never happened. She punched him in the movie. Although, have you guys ever heard the story? I think I talked about it on the one episode where, like, he was like, come on, like, they were practicing. And she legitimately, he's like, I had to walk away. Like, his hand, I think he had to get, like, ice on his face.
That's awesome.
And, like, I guess the slap just didn't work. The punch looked better or something is why they did it, but.
I like the punch.
Either one is fine with me, you know?
Yeah, it's a good addition.
I feel like a punch is a little bit more, like, like, punched her.
Yeah, like a slap. It's a slap. It's a slap. But
just a
slap
punch, in the face.
Come on, that's awesome.
Right hook.
In this article, the Hogwarts choir was an addition, which, I didn't think about
I was going to say I really liked the choir.
The choir's good.
I was like, I was in choir for like a very large portion of my life. So that was like so cool to me whenever I was like, oh, I would be in the Hogwarts choir. Like, how cool is that? I loved it.
I never thought about that.
I loved it.
You have no imagination.
Well, I mean, I was in the choir, just not as long as her. Although we stopped the same year at Meg's, right?
Yeah, but I was doing
She was in the
Singing
LA
Angels
choir.
In Cleveland.
Except wasn't it called the Singing Angles on something?
That's funny.
I don't know.
You were doing something. It's called the Singing Angles. A lot of times when my dad calls the house, it's the Gupperment that's calling and not the government. the government.
I need to point out, and I know everyone will agree, that, again, the ages of some of the actors are incorrect to the characters, yes. Like Remus and Sirius. I do want to say, so when I first saw Prisoner, like the first time ever, I don't think Remus was exactly what I wanted him to be, because he's been my favorite ever since I read this book.
Did he grow on you?
Yeah, he did. But then someone on our Facebook group, and I'm really sorry, I can't remember who it was, pointed out, they like caught my attention because they're like, I don't like David Thewlis as Remus Lupin. And I was like, why? You know? And I started reading it and she pointed out all these things that, and now I'm not sure if I like him as Remus Lupin. Oh, yes.
What was she pointing out?
Yeah, give me one at least.
He plays him very sternly.
Very stern. And I'm not going to blame him. I'm going to blame whoever wrote the script and, you know, all that.
But there's a lot of things to say about those screenplays. Ron is funnier in the book.
Yes, thank you.
And smarter.
And smarter. He's not really? Some dumb yes. friend.
Like, really quick little blurb about the screenplays. I can't remember. Because so there were two screenplay writer Harry Potter. Steve Cloves. He.
We don't know. Something with clove.
He was a huge Harry Hermione shipper. And that comes across so many times in the screenplays that he wrote. I don't think that he wrote all of them. He just wrote some. But like the whole Harry Hermione scene in Deathly Hallows of them dancing. I love that scene. It's sweet. It's but the beautiful. Reason he put it in there is because he liked them together. And that's why he wrote that scene in there.
It is a good scene.
It's
though.
A good scene. It's but like
it's a
I
friendship
hate,
scene to me.
I hate whenever people who are like creatively in a role feel like they can put,
you can't put your
their own
in.
Opinion into a screenplay. Drives me nuts. They are not together.
In defense of that scene, though, I know you like it and everything. I know you don't like them as a couple. But that very much cuts, like, it's a nice, sweet moment to cut through all the tension and heartbreak
definitely.
And yeah, all yeah, that yeah, stuff. Yeah. So it's like a good uplifting. Yeah.
Definitely. I just don't like friends. The reasoning behind why he put it in there. He did not do Order of the Phoenix.
I know it'll
he did
be,
all the others.
It'll be a little while before we get to this. But their makeout scene in the locket makes me cringe.
Oh, I can't watch it.
It's like they're eating each other's face.
It's horrible.
It's really bad.
Did you know that they didn't tell them about that scene? They didn't. Emma and Dan didn't know they had to do that. And then one day Emma comes on set and they're like, so you have to get painted silver and you're going to be topless and you have to make out with Dan.
Snog.
And she was like, what? Yeah.
Dang.
Before I forget, because we're on the point of me pointing out things.
sorry.
No, it's okay.
The point of me pointing.
Well, Sarah asked. The one thing she said was like when they're practicing the Patronus charm and he's like, he asked what memory it was. And he's like, the first time I flew a broom. He's like, that's not good enough. That's not nearly good enough. Remus would never say that. He'd be like, you know, maybe you should pick a stronger memory.
Correct.
Or he would make it much gentler.
He's softer.
But, yes, he's a lot softer.
I will say he didn't... Coming off, he wasn't like, oh, that's not good enough. He was like, well, I feel like he said it. And like, I don't know. Like,
that's not good enough. That's not nearly good enough.
Like, merely, like, it almost
it could have
like
been softer, though.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He was talking out loud. But, I mean,
it
he
just
may have thought
feel like his character.
Yeah. I guess I don't like him, obviously.
And my biggest thing, like I said, with the ages, I love Gary Oldman.
Yes.
I think he did a great job. But again, you're portraying someone in their early 30s. And you're not.
Oh my.
But again, he did a great job. But it's one of those things where you almost forget how tragic all of their lives are and were.
Yeah.
Because they're all so young. Like, his parents died when they were 21.
Yeah.
Like, they're kids. Like, we're all significantly older than what they lived to be.
Right.
Yep.
And it's something you forget about.
Yeah. Yep. All I got, I think.
Yeah. The one last thing I was going to ask is what you guys thought about the shrunken heads on the night bus and in the leaky cauldron.
I mean, love the night bus.
I love the night bus one.
The night bus was completely different. Not completely different, but like you didn't really get to hear from the other people.
I'm going to go against the grain here. I don't really care for them.
I used to not like them, but now I think they're funny.
Well, I think they're funny and they're a fun little add-in, but I would have rather seen the bus for what it is. You know,
I think
they're my lettuce.
I think I would have rather seen some of the people who were riding the bus with them,
like the lady who was like green,
yes,
and walking off the bus.
Sick. Yeah, I would rather have seen the real bus rather than you make me laugh with some shrunken heads.
Did we hear that Ernie, the guy that was driving the bus, was married to the original fat lady?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're both dead.
Real time life.
Real time life.
Wow.
They're both, I believe, both deceased. So
I will. I will say, though, that we quote the shrunken head, and we said this during our POA live. We always say, like, make sure you eat the pea soup before it eats you. Yeah. I don't know why. Like, I've never eaten pea soup in my life. Why does that quote come up so often?
Well, and Stan
they're fun to quote.
Yeah. Stan's, do we hear his name in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he does say, like, Muggles, they don't notice nothing, do they?
We say that a lot, yeah.
What you fall over for?
But he says that.
What you fall over for? I didn't do it on purpose.
And then when he gets to Leaky Cauldron, that whole scene is different when they realize.
Oh, yeah. Wait for the grunts. Can we talk about Tom?
No.
Oh, God. Tom is awful in this movie.
I don't like him.
You're going to choke. Why?
I don't know.
Tom looked great in the first movie. I'm just saying.
He was what he should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Nice, show me a coat.
Nice jinx sigh. Oh my gosh.
All right. Do we want to move on to lightning bolt rounds? People sent us some stuff. Yeah. I don't think we've mentioned that we're actually live right now.
Live with some patrons. So if you're not a patron, what you waiting for?
What you not signed up for?
We do fun stuff.
Do we though?
So is this
That's Tam.
Tam, okay.
Tam-a-lam-a-ding-dong.
Tam. Tim-Tam. Tibbles936 says, what's the best change from book to movie and what is the worst in your opinion?
Best change.
So what did they make better in the movie or what did you like that they added to the movie?
We literally just talked about it and I can't remember what I was thinking. Somebody else go.
The worst? The Marauders backstory.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Marauders backstory?
Yeah. Well, I feel like they just needed to be in the movies more.
Correct. Yes.
Was it the sixth one? Fifth or sixth?
The Memory.
Yes. Mm. I was so geared up for that, and I was so disappointed.
Biggest disappointment.
I was like...
It was like 2 seconds long.
And it was all wispy. Like, I want a clear picture.
It was like, it was an entire chapter put down to 3 seconds.
Yeah. 2.5.
Yeah.
I think for me, the
wispy
best
2.5.
The best change, not necessarily from book to movie, but just the best part of that movie is the tone that it set. That's my favorite part of Prisoner of Azkaban. It set the tone for the rest of the movies. I love the design changes that they took from the second to the third movie. How like all of the wands were now more personalized. All the colors just got a little bit darker. More there was detail. Like a nice dark overlay over like the entire movie. Mm-hmm. And now I like the direction he took the Hogwarts grounds in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it. It was shocking. Like, you know, you said you didn't like it, Tiff, but like it was shocking to me seeing it the first time. But like as the movies progressed, I really just loved
I agree.
How they put the grounds together and just set the perfect
tone. Will be by myself then.
That's fine.
Because when I first saw it, I was like, WTF, everything changed. And then now... having lived with it for so long, I'm like, that's probably my favorite set once it started to change into that.
Yeah.
And like you said, I am the type of person that I like a lot of dark stuff anyways and sad things. So it was right up my alley once it started getting darker. And I also really enjoyed the Quidditch scene when it was raining a lot. Cause it was like, you really get to see like,
what's this new voice that's happening?
Horrible. Oh, who knows?
Oh my.
Is it going to get a name?
Please don't. She can't keep up.
It depends on if it comes back. Who knows?
It might be a one-time thing.
It might be a fleeting friend.
I really liked the Buckbeak flying scene.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because of that
was the change.
And in the book, he just
the music
flies
for that was
once,
great.
Yes. He flies once around the paddock. Paddock? Whatever it's called.
Paddock.
And then just lands. But he takes this, like, grounds... scenery tour and Harry like lets loose for a second.
And it's really nice that we can see all of that.
Yes.
Where normally we don't get to see all of it. That's one thing they do great where like you get to see things in a different way. You know what I mean?
That was visual thing for him. He just did a lot of really great visual things.
Does the shack in the book sway?
No.
I did enjoy that effect.
But I did like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I liked that too.
Yeah. It made everything seem so on edge
and spooky.
Should we
and
also point out that it's not actually haunted?
Right.
There are people that think it is. No, people were talking about it on Facebook the other day. It's not actually haunted.
No, it was Lupin in his transforming days. So
they just did not discourage those rumors.
Right.
Correct. I'm just
beefed them up.
Yeah. Correct.
Dumbledore encouraged them.
Correct.
So. And if Dumbledore encourages it, then people think it must be true.
Truth.
All right. Any more?
All right. Libby Ryan says, what do you think Crookshank's backstory is?
Oh, geez.
I don't know, but they were talking about it in the chat. I love that theory that isn't true. I think she disproved it. That he was actually the Potter's cat.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been
so cute.
I want
it to be true.
Maybe they were just biffs, like BFFs.
I really just feel like Crookshanks was a stray that somebody happened upon and brought to the magical menagerie.
Wasn't he there for a very long time?
Yeah.
Some cats, I mean, like, there's this, I'm going to sound like a super cat lady. There's where I adopted my cat. I follow that adoption agency on Facebook, and there's like, they just have cats that live there. Nobody adopts them. Like, it just kind of becomes a shelter cat. Just happens. I don't know why.
Yeah.
That must have been him.
Well, and I think that he was just waiting for someone where, because you get the sense that he's intelligent. Like, he's not like a regular cat. And he is part Neasel, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Who are intelligent. So I think he was just waiting for someone.
He knew his
as
person.
Equally as intelligent and who was going to fight for his rights.
I know that
person was Hermione.
Because
he was not going to go down without a fight, and neither was Hermione.
I'd like to think that he came from like an old witch that passed away, but was smart and like really loved him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then he kind of like the witch passed away, and instead of like being cooped up with someone he didn't like, he took off.
Mm. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Waited
like
for that. His little Hermione.
Mm-hmm. He knew. What else we got?
Mary ISU says, what was Hermione's worst memory the Dementors made her remember?
I mean, didn't it say failing? But I think something more.
What if?
No, that's the Boggart.
That's Hermione.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
What if there was like a moment where, so she, as a kid, she's magical. And we know, at least with her, that she's very intelligent and she's a powerful witch. That her parents didn't know what was happening, and maybe she like overheard a conversation.
I literally just thought maybe she overheard them thinking something was wrong with her,
or like
before she knew what was
or like saying like I like maybe they were having troubles with it, and her parents were saying because no one's perfect, and I'm sure that there are parents out there that have said things
even just out of worry.
Yes, that their kid will be like, I don't know why they like. Can they you must see hate me, all that stuff. And
like little Hermione peeking around a corner.
Yeah.
And her parents are like discussing this.
Kinda that's going to cry see. A little bit. So we got to probably move on.
All right.
sad.
Yeah.
Stephanie Price asks, what would have been the first thing you did in Hogsmeade on your first trip?
Eat.
Gotten a butterbeer.
Butterbeer. Yeah. Butterbeer.
Butterbeer and some bangers and mash.
And then I would have gone to Honey Duke's.
Food. Get some chocolate.
All the food.
I'd also want to go to the bookstore.
Yes.
Yeah.
And look at all the books.
I do like a bookstore. They smell good.
Yeah. I was just thinking of
I would have gone to like Scriven Shafts is in Hogsmeade, right? And I think that's where they sell quills.
Yeah. I'd like a new
stationery
quill.
Stuff. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the staples of the Wizarding World.
Oh, yeah.
I have a friend that I'm known for liking a lot of shoes. Not only will she not go in a shoe store with me, but now she won't go into a bookstore with me because I will look at every single aisle, typically twice, before I leave. Sometimes buying no books.
All right.
That's all of them.
Thank you guys for submitting some lightning bolt questions.
Do you guys have any lightning bolts?
I really don't.
Of lightning?
Nope.
What are you excited about for the next book?
Something new.
Something like,
dark. We're getting dark and we're tying stuff up.
Yeah.
Excited for both
putting together pieces. We're going to have a lot.
I'm really excited for this Katie is going to take us with this book again
a
because
long time.
Yeah. It's crazy because like I'm starting to read it. I've been reading it and I'm like prepping things and you start looking something up and then I haven't read this book in years. So then I found like a little tidbit of something. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that happened. It's an enormous plot, and it just, it was gone. So I can't wait to just read this book again.
Yeah, same here.
Same with 5, 6, 7.
I haven't read, I want to say I haven't read 4, 5, and 6 in a very long time. Because I typically read, I read 7 a lot. I read 1 a lot. And I would read 1, 2, and then stop like at 3 just because I would just, you know.
Read something else.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see like Voldemort and the tasks. And even just reading it now, it's just so different from what I remember. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like Katie was saying, like, I forgot that happened. And now knowing so much more about Moody not being Moody, unless you didn't know. I'm like, gosh, like, how did Dumbledore not know? Like, how did he not know?
He knows everything, man.
And then I realized this, well, it's for another book, but I was like, I realized the day that they're going to Hogwarts is the day that Moody, I'm guessing, like, gets not kidnapped, but it can, essentially, yeah.
The dustbin thing. Yeah. Like, that's so whenever crazy Barty Crouch kidnaps him.
Over my head. Every time I read it, right over my head. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, that's the day. And I'm like scribbling in my book.
You know how we talk about, like, how no one's perfect? I'm going to defend my man right now.
That's Dumbledore's one thing that he like really
he
messes up.
He realized it just a smidge too late while everybody was at the maze, you know. And then he realized, and he was like, well, let me go find Harry because something's not right.
One would say he found out in the nick of time.
Nope. Fan story.
All right. So this week's fan story comes from Logan Seabolt. Like cool a firebolt, but a sea bolt.
Okay.
Of the sea.
That was a reach.
I went with it.
So she says, hey guys, my name is Logan. I'm 18 years old and a sophomore in college. My Potter story is about as out of order as one can get. Oh, growing up, I was never introduced to the books, and my only exposure to the series was the movies. It wasn't until my sophomore year in high school that I became interested in reading the books, and I asked for the box set for Christmas. Shout out to my grandparents.
Nice.
As I started reading, a friend asked to borrow books 4 through 7, and to my deepest regret, I let her. I didn't get them back until this past August 2018, so this same year. This past June 2018, my boyfriend and I visited the Wizarding World at Universal Orlando. At this point, I had seen all the movies and visited the Wizarding World. Wait. I had seen all the movies and visited the Wizarding World before reading the series. After getting my books back, I started over from book one and was instantly hooked. I quickly learned that the movies, although amazing, simply do not compare to reading the story in all of its detail. Isn't this a perfect story?
I was just saying, like, what a great fan story for this ep.
Within a month, I had finished the entire series, including Cursed Child. I discovered your podcast while reading the books and loved listening to and laughing with you all during my 2-hour drive to class every week.
Oof. That's a long drive.
My Hogwarts house is Slytherin. What up, Megan? That wasn't me. That was Logan. My Ilvermorny house is Thunderbird.
I thought it was you.
No, it's in the story.
And I thought you were going to be like, that wasn't me. That was Megan. And I was like, no, it was you.
Check out this next thing.
My Ilvermorny house is Thunderbird. My Patronus is a dolphin.
Hey.
That's
what up, Katie?
That wasn't me.
Wait, did she actually say that?
No.
I'm sorry, we're butchering your story. And my wand is aspen wood with the dragon heart string, 10 1/4 inches with reasonably supple flexibility. Awesome. Although different, I think my story proves that Hogwarts can bring anyone home, no matter their age or where they are in life.
Preach.
I think it is safe to say that I am obsessed and emotionally connected to the Potter world. Thank you all for creating a space that has only deepened my love for the series and our fandom.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to say a little blurb to all of our listeners. Never lend people your Potter books.
Honest to God.
No, I know. I feel so bad.
I'm the son of the hard copy that aren't technically mine anyways because they're my dad's. Have no idea because it was years ago, high school. So
I don't give out. I do not give out my Potter books.
I never have.
Also, let my cousin borrow the movies and have not gotten them back, but that's okay.
I let somebody borrow the movies, but she was very trustworthy, and she did give them all back to me, thankfully. It took a while, but I got them. But that is very rare for me to do.
But thank you for your story.
Yes. Thank you.
I love that. I love that last line.
And I hope that one...
doesn't matter.
No one should feel bad about how they got into Harry Potter.
No.
And, like, even if you haven't read all of the books, I still love you.
Yeah.
And you're here, and I'm sorry that you're confused.
Just listen to us. We'll tell you what happens.
Oh, we'll just confuse you more.
We'll give you all the deets.
Spoiler alert, a lot of people die.
I did read a message from somebody that said that she was reading for the first time while listening to us. And I was I hope that
I know, or someone else is saying, like, I know you have a lot of spoilers. They're like, is this a good podcast, this is not the one for you. Like, which episode Rose is like, spoiler alert, Dumbledore's dead. And someone was like, I literally spit my coffee out.
No, somebody else was like, I love how you guys give spoiler alerts after you say it. So like, we'll be like, Dumbledore's dead. Spoiler alert.
Don't talk about my Dumbly that way.
99% of the people already know that.
Snape's dead. Spoiler alert.
Fred's dead.
Spoiler alert.
Dobby's dead.
Spoiler alert.
Sirius is dead.
Spoiler alert.
This got really Snape's depressing. Snape's
a good guy. What?
Lots of other things. Anyways.
All right. So Swish and Flick Podcast can be found on all the different social media platforms. We are Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook and Swish Flick Cast on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find us on YouTube and subscribe to our channel. Puffs Pastry is live.
It's live.
It's live.
We'll do it live.
Took him long enough. We don't even talk to him anymore.
Oh, that's a lie.
That's not true.
Speaking of our friend Ezra, we will be in New York on November 24th to see the History of Magic exhibit and do a meetup with our good friend Ezra.
You keep saying this. He's going to flake on us.
Shout out to eKirk 2006.
So if anybody like wants any info on that at all, it's on our Facebook group. So make sure that you join it and then check the events and all of the infos there. I do believe that the time that we're going to the exhibit is sold out. However, we are going to do a meetup beforehand. So we'll be posting in that group
in the middle of NYC.
Yeah. Yep. We're just going to be standing in the middle of Times Square. You have to find them.
You have to feel it in your bones.
I feel it in my fingers.
No.
What? I feel it in my toes.
Okay. I got to give a shout out to myself here because Stephanie Price on the chat said, oh my God, it was so good. Puff pastry. Very impressive, Katie. What?
Not Ezra?
Can we talk about
Not Ezra, no.
How he...
No, you got to make him watch it.
No, I'm not going to say how he did it, but how he separated the egg yolk.
You guys need to go watch.
Oh my God.
I died.
Oh my God.
And then I show you the correct way. Well, one of the correct ways. I guess his technically worked, but please watch it because words. There are no words. You can also watch me be super anxious about someone cooking in my kitchen.
It's not your kitchen.
I mean,
it is, though.
It's mine.
No, so you can also find and support us on Patreon for exclusive access to the Felix Files, which is our bi-monthly bonus episodes. You have a chance to be a guest on the Felix Files and join us for our monthly Zoom hangouts. So head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. You also get access to these episodes live every now and then. We don't do every single episode live, but we sporadically do them, and our patrons have access to that as well. So shout out and thank you to all of our current patrons. We love you, and this podcast would not be possible without your support, so thank you.
Facts. You rock.
Lastly, you can check out our website, swishflickcast.com, to get all of the info on us. Yes.
And our new Azkaban
merchandise, which Katie will be posting this before this episode goes live. So.
Can I ask a lightning bolt question?
No.
Are we going to have Christmas merch?
Yes. Yes.
Cool. I need more merch.
I am thinking maybe we should work on that on our long drive to New York.
I need to be like a walking Swish and Flick billboard.
My other thing, I want all of you people listening right now. You have headphones in. You might be listening out in the open.
Or in your car.
You know.
Are you in the wild? Are you listening in the wild?
Wherever you are, I want you to tell us what Katie should make next. And possibly their friend Ezra.
Oh, I'm Puff Pastry?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, tell us.
Can't be an apple pie. Katie knows
how to
make
it. Yes, it can.
No.
Apple pie.
Somebody suggested apple pie, and Katie was like, yeah, let's do it. I'll do so good.
We tend to make apple pies every year. When I say... One, it's like 20.
Yeah.
Literally every year for the past 4 years.
I just made my own creation the other day and it wasn't awful.
She did. She made pumpkin pie with cinnamon roll crust.
Ooh.
Little mini individual pumpkin pies.
Now I think that would be phenomenal with an apple pie. I love a good cinnamon roll.
It's
supposed
to be apple, but I switched it to pumpkin.
That's right. I'm not a big pumpkin fan.
We do a food club.
Yeah, because we're fancy. Okay, so plugging other projects. Tiffany, what's going on in your life?
I got a daughter.
My daughter. She's a lady. I love Bill Burr. Please listen. Raising little Alana Rose. It's going well. Teaching small children, 20 of them, first grade. We just did a bat unit. It was pretty epic.
That's fun.
Yeah. They love saying echolocation.
Did they get batty while you guys were learning?
They're always batty. What else am I doing? Petting my pooch. Loving my man. Oh, can we have positive vibes and prayers for my grandmother?
Yeah.
Yes. She broke her leg the other day, you guys. It sucks. So, and she is like a mover and a shaker. She doesn't stop.
It's a good thing, though, that she'll
do rehab.
She's going to go to rehab for a little bit, and then she's going to be bouncing around from house to house for a little while with the...
But that's a good thing. She's got some gumption, you know?
Oh.
Get up, move. It's a good thing.
Can't keep her down. So send that her way, please. Her name is Judy.
Judy.
Grandma Judy.
I've met her. She's a wonderful lady.
She's fantastic. She's awesome. So that's me.
So Katie and I are super busy because we do way too many things.
Yep.
We've got a really cool little project in the works for grown up kids for our Disney listeners.
What's a Disney?
I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm going to tell you that it's going to be announced on our episode that's coming out on November 25th. So look for that. And then also, a lot of people are interested in how our trip was overseas, and I am going to be working on a little trailer for our vlogs that will be coming out so that you can see just like a little glimpse of everything that we did, and then we will be posting weekly vlogs.
Are you just vlogging that or are you podcasting that?
We're going to do both. So
I was going to say, you should drop the Potter-specific stuff to the
Swishers. For sure. We
Tiffany,
will.
Tiffany, you were there for that conversation. Thank you, and good night.
So we vlogged the entire trip, and those will be on our Main Street 9 3/4 YouTube channel. However, I'm gonna put together some like specifically Potter footage that will drop on the Swish and Flick channel, as well as Katie and I are going to do trip podcasts in December. So look for those.
Are you ready for it?
Do we want to tell them how the schedule's gonna go?
We can.
Because we're going to do essentially the next four episodes besides this one are
Goblet.
And then we're going to have a break for Christmas. And you're going to just hear Megan and Katie talk about their trip for 3 weeks, right?
Yep.
And then we're going to go back to Goblet.
That was a good
Just warning bet. You now.
And in the meantime, I'm going to bulk my notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to hit the new year hard.
We don't have any docs ready yet. For after that.
Oh, okay. I was like...
We have the next, technically I have the
Sarah
next
Sarah and I
ones.
Can make them. She comes over, I'm sure.
I'm never going to see you again. Do you guys have anything else?
No.
Are you,
no,
you,
they don't.
You do Accio Designs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Buy their posters. Designs. They're pretty cool.
Guys, we have
also,
so much going on.
Megan's mom, and I'm not saying this because I love her mother, makes the best blankets
They're
and
the
scarves.
Warmest things.
Oh, and you can God. Get them on Accio Designs on Etsy.
They're very
we've
well
had
made.
We've been having a lot of listeners order. My mom has been knitting nonstop for like 2 months.
My fingers hurt. Well, your back hurt.
I just full land shaping duty.
I totally said that to her like 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
she get it.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, she did.
Shout out to Mama P because she's been working
hard. She loves
hard.
Making them, and actually,
each one is made
she
with love.
Is mm-hmm. and she is using all of the she's using all of the funds to fund her first big vacation to Disney in many a years. So, like anything that we sell goes into a little Disney fund pile for her so that we can actually do like a week-long Disney vacation with my mom.
I can't wait for you to plan my Disney vacay.
Oh, I love planning Disney vacations. I just planned my boss's. She just got back.
I really just want to go when the Star Wars stuff opens and like I know it's gonna be crazy expensive.
Insane.
I just want to stay in the hotel because isn't it like interactive?
Yep.
Yeah. You get like a role. It's like role playing.
Alana force choked Sarah today. I just want to point that out.
I saw that picture.
Awesome? Thank you. I took it, and I also put besides the long sleeve shirt that was underneath her onesie, bought that entire outfit.
It's
cute.
You're welcome. I have nothing going on. I'm trying to plan some trips for next year.
You babysit Alana.
Yeah, I watch Alana every Friday, so it's my favorite day of the week.
Where are you planning trips to?
Well, I'm going... This is going to make me sound...
To the bathroom?
I don't plan those. It just happens. I'm going to New York twice in February, and then...
We're all going to New York in February.
Yeah, but not twice.
We're going twice. We're going skiing. Going twice,
but we're not really going skiing.
I'm not
going to
go skiing. I'm going to drink.
But really, I'm going to drink in a hot tub. Maybe just
Sarah's
going to
cook herself like a lobster.
And then my mom was talking about going to California. I don't know if that's happening. And maybe Aruba. My best friend is getting married next year, so she's thinking about having... This makes her sound like such a snot. She really isn't. We might go to Aruba for her bachelorette party.
Baby, why don't we go down to Kokomo?
See, they only do it when I'm talking because they really hate me.
I didn't.
And they don't care about my life.
Fast and then we'll...
Guys, tell me what I should be
slow
when I grow up because I need a new job. That's it. This is what I'm working on.
Star
getting a new job.
Captain.
Going back to school and traveling.
Where should Katie and I go next? Tell us.
The moon. We went to the moon in 1969. Not 1970. But
all righty. Shall we close this up?
Yeah, because this is getting ridiculous. So
that's me closing the book on it.
Oh my God.
See you later, Prisoner of Azkaban. It's been real.
We'll see you later.
We will see. I think we'll see it later after we do a roundabout, and then we'll come back to doing some stuff. It'll be like a circle.
And you know what?
The circle
gets the
square.
You aren't going to live too much longer. And for that, we apologize. Pouring out in advance for the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay. Thank you, Azkaban.
Thanks, Azkaban.
Azkaban. It's been a hoot.
And that's where we need to stop. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice.
Okay, let's start recording.
Let's talk about Star Wars.
Right. Let's talk about Harry Potter.
Who is Snoke? What's your theory?
He's Voldemort. Intergalactic Voldemort.
Intergalactic Voldemort. Sometimes when I laugh really hard and no sound comes out, you can hear the thing in the back of my throat.
God.